Thank you very much, and God bless you all super abundantly in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. I put a picture up on the screen, those of you who have video capabilities, and I just wanted you to be blessed with something simple, precious, and absolutely innocent. And it's such a far cry from the state of our world. And yet we still live in this world, but God gives us things to look at, to have, to hold, to help us so that we can live in this darkness and in this world. So I thought you'd like to see that. That's a very endeared picture. Steffi took it. She's so good at pictures, and that's an example of what she's able to do. So I thought you'd like to see that. Okay, now we're back to me. I know it's not quite as innocent, but here I am. All right. There are some things, several things that I wanted to share. I should probably put that screen sharing back on. Chris, I'll let you know when you got to do that, our affirmations. But you had asked about if I was building on concrete, and I think I have a picture that I can share if I can get this act together. And I wanted to show you this picture because now this is poured. It's all this slab that they're working on is finished. This is the kitchen slab. And starting this week, they're going to be finishing the framing. But I thought you'd like to see that just to get an idea of the state of this current addition. The slab that they're working on is where all that dirt is. The wood. So all that wood's cleared out of there, and they're putting the slab in. It's 8x8. And so this next week, they're going to finish all the framing for this entire right side of this building. And this is the house that I'm building. It's going to be pretty much wrapped around the garage, because we can use the existing slab in the garage too. And so, just to bring you up to speed a little bit on what's going on here, we've got a roof on this thing. It's already looking real. Oh, I think I had another picture too, but no. I thought I had something else to show you more. There, they're putting the roof on there. And this siding is called plisum. It's what we call hardy board in the States. And I thought it'd be a great way to do it here just because it's probably the most inexpensive siding option and pretty much impervious to the weather. That's very important. And the roof they call zinc. They just call it zinc, you know. And so you put a little foil padding insulation underneath it, and that keeps the heat from bearing down through it. And then I'm going to be putting R19 insulation in there, which is 6 inches thick, and that'll really help. It's going to be in the walls too. I know it's overkill, but it's a cheaper option. So that's just a bit of a picture of what's going on and where I'm at. And so the house should be finished probably within 2 months. That's what we're hoping for. And now I'm looking for something else to show you. I'm going to change gears. Not yet ready for the affirmations, Chris, but I will be after I finish this next part. I've told you guys many times that for the most part, most of the things that we've been taught, we've been lied to. And that's really a sad fact, but it's also very true. And as an example, I mean, this is so simple, it's ridiculous, but let's just take dental health, your teeth. Everything that you've been taught, you should question. You should question everything because of the deception that lies within this world and how people are told things to get them to be things, to be a certain way. Dental is no exception. For instance, the dental mantra is you must floss every day. Well, that's just not true. And there are people that say that that's an absolute lie. And of course, they're ostracized by the dental profession. But if you think about it, let's say that as you get older, you get receding gums. Now, everybody who has gotten older knows that. You know that your gums start to recede. And they try to tell you that that's part of life. That's part of getting old. Well, it's wrong because it's not supposed to happen. Now, when you floss, it pushes down on that. If you floss every day, you've been pushing down on your gums every single day. It's like rubbing a rope in between your teeth. And of course they're going to go down. Now, if you think that kind of logic, let's say that your gums are sore. Let's say that they're bleeding. And so why would you want to rub a string on an open wound? And anyway, you got to think outside of the box pretty much with everything. I use the dental mantra as an example, but there are thousands of them. Now, I want to show you another example, and I want to tell you that the Masons are largely responsible for this nonsense that we face in terms of what Christianity is, in terms of the Trinity, in terms of just many, many other things labeled faith. So I'm going to share something else. I can't say that you're going to be able to see it really well, but I'll try to make it as good as I can. Yeah, I think this will work. Chris is probably freaking out because I didn't tell him anything about this. This is coming on YouTube, but I want you to see this definition of Christians. And this is pretty much what the world powers are taught. A brotherhood of warriors. They were named Christians in derision by the Hebrews. One who rushes into a multitude of rioters and with a sword enforces peace is a true Christian. A people whose faith is in arms and standing armies. The following words are synonymous. Now, I'll pause right there, but I want you to understand that this is what is taught to world leaders. This is what is taught to anybody above a 32nd degree Mason. This is what is taught to the powers of the darkness of this world, and this is what the powers of the darkness of this world enforce. Okay? So everything you're going to hear is contrary to everything you've already heard about Christianity. And this information has the potential to send shockwaves through your brain and heart. Okay, the following words are synonymous: Brahma, Buddha, Christ, Christi, Baal Asherah, Dagon, Vishnu, Ashtad, knowledge, wisdom, Krishna, the Hare Krishnas, light, Ho, Tayan, Wa, Manito, and in fact a score of others. And so that is the definition of Christians. No, I bet you've probably never heard that, but that's the definition of Christians. Now I will interject something, and it's something I'm coming more and more to believe, but I wanted to expose it to you. The world as we know it today was affected by a great reset that pretty much has been proven to have happened around the 1800s, the early 1800s. And 200 years prior to that, give or take, let's say during, starting with the late 1500s and the 1600s and then 1700s, people were given, the people in power were given by the people in charge, and spirits in charge, 200 years to completely rewrite history. Now, I know this sounds absolutely insane and strange, but the reason I'm telling you this is because I want you to go look it up. I want you to go try to find some of this yourself and see what you come up with. Well, this is where they came up with this definition of Christianity, because everything was redone. And now I want to take you a little bit further. Let's see if I can even get this properly on the screen. I might not be able to. No, that's not what I want. It's hard to find these things. Okay. This book, Mystic Masonry, and where it came from, is more or less the school book that the reset artist did or used when they came up with all the history that you've been taught, all the things that you've been taught, and almost every deception that's out there. And so this is an incredibly powerful source of information. And I wanted you to be aware of this, and I wanted to share something with you. If you look at number 5, I'm going to see if I can blow this up. There's no way that I could relate all of this to you today, but I'm exposing you. It is a fact that at Memphis, Egypt, in the pyramids, under the guidance of the kings, the mystic rites of masonry were worked many thousands of years ago. But at that time, Egypt and the continent of America were one and the same. Well, I don't know if you've ever heard that, but now you can study this, because as of late, it is becoming more and more proselytized that Utah, the state of Utah, was actually Egypt and where Moses was. Oh, this is crazy. I know what you're feeling, but that's okay. I want you to go look this stuff up. Number 6 says, in America, rediscovered in the 15th century and repopulated in the 17th, was recovered Egypt and the promised land, or the land of the constellation of the eagle. Well, what I want you to understand is that this is what's being propounded in the world today, and this, what I'm reading from, is the source of Major deceptions. If you've ever wondered the whys and the wherefores, this is a great place to start. And like, for instance, if I asked you, well, where did the Trinity start? That's a great one, because it's a total lie. It's an absolute lie. It's 100% deception. And yet most people believe it. That's how you know it's a lie. And it's taught everywhere. They squeeze the doctrine of the Trinity into every philosophical crack they could find in churches and outside of churches. It doesn't matter, in world religions. But where did it start? Well, I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me it started in 432 AD, the Council of Nicaea in Constantinople. I know that's what you're going to say. But you know something? I'm going to say something different. And I want to expose you to what this thing says. So let's see if I can actually find it. I have to work my paper here. There we go, found it again. I want you to take a look at what's in the right middle part of the screen. Now, first of all, this is that same book, and this is a, oh, I don't know what you call it, a plagiarism of everything good. They've taken all the names of God and godliness and cast them in darkness. And so what that means is, if you see the word Lord, it, to them, these Masons, it means a one-time mortal, ruler over part of the people on earth for a season. That's over on the left side. I'm not going to focus on that stuff because I said look at the right side. But I do want you to see something just remarkably interesting, remarkably difficult. And there are four false gods, okay? Loamung, Christi, Christ, Kabbalictus, Buddha, okay? Then Enochisa, Brahma, Thoth, Gabriel. And so you have the false Lord God, Anuhisaj, and it says who first made the names Lord God, Deus, Deus, Deity, Zeus, Jos, and Hojos. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Worshipful on the earth in place of the Great Spirit. Well, out of all that, and I'm just exposing you to what these Masons believe and what they program the people in those 200 years, 1500, 16, 17, right in there. They gave them 200 years to rewrite history. All the garbage that you see today, that's when they came up with it. And now I'm just exposing you to that concept. I want you to go and look this up. Try to find it. Try to get deeper into it and see, you know, just what comes out of it. But these first three listed, Loamung, Christi, Christ, they're called the Triunes. And they are the founders of the Trinity and of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And so it says underneath that, it says, and the beast divided itself into four great heads and possessed the earth about, and men fell down and worshiped them. So these four gods, as it writes in there, and it's not very clear, but if you read further into the book, you can become more clarified. If you go, as for example, right in the middle there on the right side, Loamung was the false god who founded, by inspiration, the great sect called Christians. Now, this is what is taught to the Masons. And this is what happened in that 200-year period. This is the garbage that they came up with and what these devils did. And so it says he is first mentioned in the book of Esdras, chapter 13, and his career is continued in the book of Esdras and Es until he is finally cast into hell. And here's where they twist the word hell, because really it means gravedom, which corresponds in date to the time the Pope established himself as vicegerent on earth and very properly became his God, because his God was non-est, in other words, dead. And so this is where the Pope was created, and the whole concept of the Pope being a God and ruling Christianity, and this is how they came, or when they came up with the Trinity. And so if you want to know from whence came the Trinity, it came from these four gods. And there were four sects of these four gods. You had Christianity, you had Buddhism, you had Brahmanism, and then you had the last Thoth or Gabriel or Mohammedism. And so the Muslims came out of this, the Brahmas came out of this, the Buddhas came out of this, and the Christians came out of this. The false ones. The false everything. It's all false. And it's all like the source of the troubles that we find in our doctrinal systems today. And so what I've done in a very short period of time is I've thrown something out to you that indicates that there is a source of more in-depth information as to the originations of the woes we battle every day in Christian doctrine. And I would think that even though the Buddhas, the Brahmas, and the Mohammedisms are all false religions, they probably have the same kind of battles because they're dealing with the same sources of confusion. But that, to me, this is a great starting point for where the real dirt started being spread throughout what God did in Christianity through Jesus Christ. And if you don't hold on to the Word of God, you're going to get messed up in all this stuff like crazy. Well, that's what we do. We help people get out of it. We teach them the truth, and we teach them the scriptures, what scriptures we actually have left. Okay, but we're very thankful to have what we have left. And I think some of you are enterprising enough to where you will go and look some of this up. And if you need more guidance on starting points, I can help you with that. I can also tell you that if you take the time to research the Promised Land thing, that was Utah, I think it will blow your mind because of Moses, what Moses had to do, where he had to walk, what he had to see, and what he did see from where he walked. And that every one of those places are still in Utah. This is absolutely ballistic, people. And I know you believe you should floss every day. But I'm here to tell you, you don't want to rub string on an open wound. It's not going to do anything but hurt it. And I know you believe what you believe, and I know you believe it because that's what you were taught. But I just told you what floss really does. And now I'm telling you from whence came some of the most devilish doctrines. And they were right at the top. That's why it's listed like that. Like the Trinity that we've ever had to deal with. The triunes. Okay. So the real Trinity is Lomang, Christi, Christ. And the founders of the Trinity are all four of those false gods. And this was their devilish intent. And so man falls down and worships them even to this day, but we do not. And that's why it's so tough and rough and calloused and hard and destabilizing when you run up against this stuff. But now you know a little bit more than you knew before. And I'm not saying I'm right or wrong. I'm just saying, look, this stuff's out there now. I think we need to look into it a little bit, okay? I'm gonna stop screen sharing. There's so much more I could share, and I'll probably be inspired to share more like next month. Oh, that'd be an interesting time. I'm going to stop sharing now, Chris, so you want to put up the affirmations, you can. Okay. So we're going to do what we love to do by talking about who we really are in Christ, okay? But next month, maybe I'll reserve some time to talk more about the Utah Promised Land thing. And Jose, I would think that you have a lot deeper insight into this stuff than we do because of how that whole band of land called Mexico and Central America and the Mayans and all of that play into this. And I would think that you would be especially interested in discovering more truths that, well, that you probably already have heard about. Okay, so we'll see what next month brings. Oh, I don't know if I told you guys, but I'm going to come back to Dallas next month for about 5 days. And I'll give you more, or Joe can give more information on that. Anyway, maybe I'll teach live. Wouldn't that be cool? All right, are you ready? I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. Y en español, yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Lo siento, José. I know you were going, wait a minute. You didn't do it right. You missed it. Just kidding. Okay. Thank you very much. Now, I'm going to teach, and I've entitled this teaching, Prayer Warriors. Prayer Warriors. And we're going to start in Romans chapter 15. And this has to do with Paul. This has to do with every time he requested. Every time he requested that the believers pray for him. So that's the basis of this teaching. We're going to look at every single time that he asked for believers to pray and what they were praying about, obviously for Paul, on behalf of Paul, but what they were praying about. And so that's why I called it Prayer Warriors, because we have the same kind of responsibility to pray for our leadership. It's so vital. And let's start with Romans chapter 15, verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Verse 31, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. Now this could be believers or unbelievers, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. Wow, we're building quite a list of information here. And verse 32, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now that's why leadership comes and visits people. It's pretty cool. Well, I would like to reread those three verses and say things how they sound better, how they maybe should have been translated. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and through, completely through and through, agape of the Spirit, which means right spiritual behavior. And through agape of the Spirit, right spiritual behavior. That you strive together with me in your prosuke. I'm going to use two Greek words for prayer today. The first one is prosuke. And prosuke, P-R-O-S-E-U-C-H-E, means something very unique. And I'll get to that in a minute. Verse 31, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of. And that is eis, the Greek word, it's E-I-S, and it means completely unto, or in the saints. It hits the mark. There's no miss here. That I may come, or having come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. So, in parallel, we should strive together in prayers for our leadership. Yes, I'm asking you to pray for me, but there's other people you can pray for too. This is a spiritual agape act. Wow, can you believe we're still uncovering and discovering more about agape? It is proper church behavior. Anytime you see the word agape, you've got to just instantly go to the word behavior. You've got to run away from the word love. It's like, what? Why? How? I don't get it. It's going to be funny when Jesus Christ comes back and then God himself describes 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we hear what he really has to say about the word agape or charity or love. And then I come along and I say it's behavior. Oh, that's going to be a great day. Deliverance from believers that do not believe. Acceptable service to the saints. Refreshing the saints. That's what our striving must focus on. Wow. Behavior, church behavior, deliverance, acceptable service, and refreshing the saints. Now let's look at the word prosuke just for a moment. If you go back to November 2014, that's the Artios on types of prayer, you'll see the same definition. And I hope that you do. And I hope that you try to memorize that Artios. Because if you ever want to be clear on one thing, you ought to be clear on all the types of prayer. I mean, we pray, right? Okay. So prosuke is earnest prayer. Earnest. Earnest prayer. A type of prayer that takes place over a long period of time and that is done with great earnest. It's kind of like the energy you put in making sure you have cheese in your refrigerator to snack on every day. You know, eating cheese is an addiction. You do know that, don't you? It triggers the same brain centers as heroin does. Oh my goodness! But everybody eats cheese. Oh, no, not everybody. It is the type of prayer that Jesus said was needed to put spiritual problems at bay. The type of prayer that Jesus used before his crucifixion while his... Oh, I know what you're thinking. You saw that definition, didn't you? When I showed you that wonderful Mason moronic text about what Christians are to them. Because just below it, it said what crucifixion was. Crucifixion has nothing to do with the pictures that you've ever seen regarding Jesus hanging on a cross. Oh my goodness, stake? Tree? No. Crucifixion was when somebody was actually tied to a wheel, a big old wooden wheel, arms and legs spread out, tied to a wooden wheel, and tested by fire, burned alive. If their God didn't save them, then they died. Wow, I guess they all died then. And so we've been deceived and lied to on so many fronts. And I can only give you a few of these at a time because it would just demoralize you. But it's true. And we need to become more and more aware of the nonsense that we let bubble in our brains. But prosuke is the type of prayer that Jesus used. The earnest prayer before his crucifixion. It's the type of prayer that the apostles did for the church. And the same type of prayer that the disciples offered daily in the temple. Well, can you believe that the disciples got in on that too? It is the type of prayer that you do whenever you have a prayer day. I'd like you to turn to Acts chapter 6. And I'll show you a verse that, well, in my opinion, it captures it all. Acts chapter 6 and verse 4. Remember, prosuke, earnest prayer. That's the simplest definition I know. Verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prosuke. Continually. That's a good thing. And to the ministry of the Word. Okay, let's go to the next one. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Are you getting excited? Doesn't it feel good when the Word of God energizes every cell in your body? Wow, your brain's going crazy right now, and you thought you wouldn't make it today. Just kidding. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, prosuke, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Wow, that is a mouthful that we probably need to rework a little bit. Verse 11, again, ye also helping together by prayer for us. So the people were earnestly praying for the leadership, and it was considered helping. That for the gift bestowed upon us, dia, through, all the way through, through and through, through the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf, or might be the focus of thanksgiving for us. Let's do it one more time, because I'm adding different pieces and we'll pull it together. Ye also helping together by earnest prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us through the means of many persons might be the focus of thanksgiving for us. Well, it shouldn't come as a surprise that prayer is considered a helpful act. Collectively, our prayers, and here's how I understand this, our prayers lift the focus of thanksgiving to God. Wow. Well, 1 Corinthians 14 tells us a little bit more about speaking in tongues and the giving of thanks. Well, thanksgiving, which was a main focal point of 2 Corinthians 1:11. So why not include it? It's prayer. It's the best way to give thankfulness or show thankfulness. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 16. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, Amen, at thy giving of thanks? Shall, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest. It's like today when Joe asked Dulce to speak in tongues and interpret. He asked, now you had to know Spanish to know what he was even saying. And he wasn't speaking in tongues and interpreting. He was asking Dulce to speak in tongues with interpretation. Habla en lenguas con interpretación. That's what he was doing. And immediately, Dulce jumped to it. Not even a breath of a pause, and spoke in tongues with interpretation. How fantastic. But if you didn't know Spanish, it all kind of sounded like a tongue, didn't it? Yeah, it did. You know what I'm talking about. Seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest, verse 17, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. What a great example. Well, let's move to another example of prayer for leadership. Ephesians chapter 6. Right now, you're probably feeling pretty proud, aren't you? I mean, I gave you a couple Greek words. I told you dia, it means through and through. That was pretty cool. I even told you a really big one, prosuke. Said that means prayer, earnest prayer. Something that the believers did continually. Yeah, so you're boning up on your Greek. I like it. Ephesians chapter 6. This one is that utterance, you know, speaking. Utterance may be given unto Paul to make known the mystery of the gospel. Ephesians 6, verse 18 and 19. Praying, prosukamai, always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Verse 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Wow, there's so many things in there. Prayer and supplication, praying, watching, perseverance, supplication, all saints, utterance, bold speaking, making known, and the mystery of the good news, the glad tiding. So much. Well, there's a couple little Greekies we can throw in here. Verse 18. Praying, prosukamai, I gave you that one, always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Well, that's speaking in tongues and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that logos, utterance, logos, word, the words, may be given unto me. Paul wanted the logos to be given unto him so that he could in the opening of his mouth be bold to make known the mystery of the glad tidings. Well, to make two verses a little shorter, pray that utterance may be given unto leadership so that they may open their mouths to make known the mystery of the glad tidings. Literally praying that Paul, and of course now your leadership, is given or are given the words to speak. Wow, that's just fantastic. You can pray for me to have words to speak. How beautiful. Philippians chapter 1. So when we see prosuke in these verses, we know that this is supposed to be earnest prayer, like Jesus did before he was crucified, like his disciples did. Yeah. Philippians chapter 1, verse 18. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Verse 19. For I know that this shall turn to my supplication through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Well, maybe you want to hear it with a little more understanding. Verse 18 is good, but verse 19, I added some things. Verse 19, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation, or shall turn out to or become wholeness. For I know that this shall turn out to or become wholeness through your desis, another type of prayer. The word prayer in verse 19 is desis, D-E-E-S-I-S. That is another Greek word. And it means petition. Have you ever signed a petition? It's a list of things. Maybe grievances, or maybe things that you want to see happen. A list. It's like a list of things that you're putting your name on, saying, well, this, I agree with all this. Whatever the list is, it could be a list of anything. Petitioned. And the supply. And the word supply means contribution of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Wow. So, as Christians, we are supposed to pray that we can contribute what we have of the gift, and that we can petition God so that other people can be made whole. Prayer becomes or issues in wholeness. That's the word for salvation. The supply of the Spirit of Christ in you issues in wholeness. It's a supply. So that indicates that there's a refreshing that happens with it. There's a lot we don't know about the gift of Holy Spirit. I can tell you that right now. The context renders this prayer as speaking in tongues. Well, if that's true, speaking in tongues contributes to wholeness. Is that yet another benefit? Huh? You know how in the foundational class we talked about the benefits of speaking in tongues? Wholeness. Wow. The supply of Christ in you, especially when energized by speaking in tongues, contributes, and that's the word, the supply, contributes. That's what supply means, contributes to wholeness. Oh, that's beautiful. Well, let's just talk a little bit more about desis. Luke chapter 1. Desis, that's the Greek word for this type of prayer, means petition or request. It's just a matter of fact. There's not a lot of earnest with it. It's just a list. So you could have a prayer list. Oh, I bet you didn't see that one coming. A prayer list. Yeah, you could actually have a list of things you pray for. That's desis. Oh, man, we are hitting the mark today. I love it. Luke chapter 1, verse 13. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias. So anytime an angel says, fear not, you really need to know how it sounds. Well, when you find out, let me know, because I bet it was really cool. For thy prayer, desis, is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear a son. Wonder what Zacharias had on that list. Wow. I want a boy, I want a boy, I want a boy, I want a boy. Oh, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. I betcha. Now, I don't think I'm pulling at straws here, but I betcha that Zacharias asked God for a son. Oh, and thou shalt call his name John. He probably didn't even know what to call him. Maybe Zacharias said, and oh, by the way, God, could you give me a name for him? Desis is used of prayers for specific requests, like praying that someone has believing. I am referencing the Ardios of November 2014. Someone has believing, healing, power, boldness, etc. It is used also when asking for forgiveness. God, I'm sorry that I did this, this, and this. Okay, that's a list. Okay, all right. Colossians chapter 4. Are you guys having a good time? Are you enjoying learning the Word of God? Are you enjoying learning about the importance of praying for your leadership and each other? This is communal. This is what we're all supposed to be doing together as believers. We're supposed to be unified on these things. Colossians chapter 4. And this has to do with open doors of utterance to speak the mystery of the Christ. Remember when I taught you about the eternity? I bet you most of you never forgot that. Because until that time, we always talked about eternity as, oh, eternity. Can't wait till eternity. Oh. But then when we learned that the watchers, they left the eternity. Wow. That just painted a whole new picture. Well, it's the Christ in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prosuke and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Huh. So we already saw something about continuing in prosuke. Okay, so now we see it again. Well, anytime you see something twice, and I know that Gary will absolutely support me on this, it is established. Continue in prosuke and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Oh, thanksgiving again? Oh my gosh. This whole thing about being thankful is like riddled down in the rivets of the bottom of the boat. I mean, it's the foundation of prayer. Thankful, 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 thanksgiving. Giving thanks well. We thank God for everything in our lives. Watch. So you're like a little guard. You're a sentry. You're at the guard post. And what are you doing? You're watching. You're watching. You're watching to make sure that you pray earnestly. But you're watching and you're making sure that you're thankful while you're doing that. Withal, praying, prosukamai, also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Well, would you believe that logos is once again used, which, well, according to Gary, I'm just playing with you, Gary, it's established. So you can pray. You can pray that the Word of God is given to you and to your leaders. to speak the mystery of the Christ. Let's put it in there because it's in there. I guess if you take it out of there, you kind of diminish Christ a little bit. And this is the Word of God. So I don't want to take a word away. I'd rather put it back. To speak the mystery of the Christ, for which I have been bound also. I just have to read it the way it is. I don't like reading those squiggly words like that. For which I have been bound also. See how easy that is now? Oh my goodness, it's easy. Pray that God would open to leadership doors of the Logos, specifically to be able to speak the mystery of the Christ. Philemon. Turn to Philemon. There's only one chapter, so I don't have to say chapter one, do I? Okay, chapter one. I shall be given unto you. Philemon chapter 1, verse 22. But withal. Now, we saw withal up in Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. Withal is wiggling around. Withal. Withal praying. Withal prepare. Wow, what a funny word. I know Jose and Dulce are asking, like, what does that mean? I don't know. Okay, but it sounds funny. Withal, but withal prepare me also a lodging. For I trust that through your prayers, prosuke, I shall be given unto you. Okay, I want to read this again, but how I think it should be. And there's not a whole lot of I should in here. But withal prepare for me also a lodging. For I trust that through your prayers, your prosuke, I shall be granted unto you. I have a feeling that some of you, if not everybody, has been earnestly praying for me. Because guess what? I'm coming to Dallas. What am I supposed to say? Oh my goodness. Pray that leadership can be granted unto you, given unto you, brought to you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. That the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. This is a verse that you guys love. I already know it. I know it. How do I know it? I don't know. I just know it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 1. You know what's kind of sad? I'm only going to read one verse here. I'm not going to read the whole book of Thessalonians. Some of you are going, please, Lord Jesus, come quickly. But no, I'm only going to read one verse. Finally, brethren, verse 1, prosukamai for us. You guys get busy and turn this thing on. That the Logos, that is number 3 of the Lord. Oh, I've got to skip the squigglies. Sorry. I'm just going to skip them now. Are you ready for this? I'm skipping the squigglies. Here it goes. Wait for it. Finally, brethren, prosukamai for us, earnestly pray for us, that the Logos of the Lord may run and be glorified. Run and be glorified. Run, that the Logos grows tootsies and leggies and runs and is glorified, even as with you. Wow. It wasn't like this wasn't happening, but they were supposed to pray that it kept on happening. Pray that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, that it may run. With prayer, the Lord's word can and will run and be glorified. Yeah, just pray for it and see what it's like. I mean, let me know, okay? Pray for it. let's call it like, wait for it, pray for it, uh-huh, and then watch it happen and then tell me what it was like. That's what I want to hear. The Word is alive. It's alive. An entity, oh, here's another one of these. Remember all these things we've been listing? Like glorification, sanctification, all the sonship rights. They're all alive. Grace, it's alive. Now we find that the Logos is alive, an entity unto itself. The Word running and being glorified among believers is considered normal. Yeah, normal. It's the normal way it's supposed to be. But, yep, there's always a but. Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right. You guys stop gritting your teeth. It's not that bad of a but, okay? But this must be prayed into action. You do this by praying for leadership. Asking that the Word can run and be glorified. You literally ask for that. It's that simple. Hebrews chapter 13. Oh, you're going, gosh, Jerry, are you almost finished or what? Yeah, I am. But I know you don't want it to end. So I can't do anything about that because I'm almost there. I'm going to give you another verse here. And then we're going to close this thing out. And you're going to have some of the most tremendous keys to your prayer life, to energizing your prayer life, and being one of the most successful prayer warriors that have ever graced the face of this earth. I didn't say planet. I said this earth. Right. In between the four corners of this earth. Right. Okay. Hebrews 13. So, this is about to pray for persuasion regarding maintaining proper conduct with the believers. Now, oh my gosh, I probably should have spent the entire teaching on this verse and just skirted through the others, because this one was the one that was the most ruined in terms of its English translation. Jose, I'm real curious. I know that you have a Spanish Bible, and I bet you they might have got this some of this stuff right. Anyway, praying for persuasion regarding maintaining proper conduct with the believers. You know, it's funny, when I titled this little subsection in my teaching, I had to title it with what it really is supposed to say. I couldn't title it with what it says, because that's not what this section is about. The section's about what it really says. So I had to give it away. Oh, you guys probably think I'm nuts. That's how my mind works. So, prosuke for us. Verse 18. For we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Well, that's the verse you've read all your life. This verse is mistranslated. That's like me saying, if you floss your teeth, you're rubbing string. And let's say you do have gum problems. You're rubbing string on an open wound. Now, would you do that? Like if you cut your finger, would you just start rubbing string on it? No! This verse is mistranslated. That's just as stark. Literally, I'm just going to throw it out there and tell you how I think it should be translated. Earnestly pray for us. We didn't get it wrong, did we? Prosukamai for us. Earnestly pray for us. Well, that was easy to swallow. That wasn't too tough. But here comes the rest. For we persuade ourselves. For we persuade ourselves. Interesting. That's like self-persuasion. I'm persuading myself. For we persuade ourselves that we have a good conscience. Okay, so I'm sitting here, I'm working this through my bubbly brain, because it bubbles with all kinds of stuff. Some of it's nonsense, but I'm trying to put some good in there, and I'm persuading myself, come on, Jer, you can do this. Come on, Jer, you can do this. Come on. Now I persuade you. Come on, Joy. You can do this too. Okay. That we have a good conscience. That my conscience is good. That your conscience is good too. In the matter of well conduct. Now, I had to put the word well in there because slang English says good conduct, but really it's supposed to be well. That's the better way to say it. For we persuade ourselves that we have a good conscience in the matter of well conduct. Well, what does that mean? Leadership is to strive for this. Strive, persuade, strive, strive, strive again. Number one, to have a good conscience regarding proper conduct among the believers. Okay. And number two, they were persuaded, but needed prayer. And this is what does not come through the English translation. Everybody shake your head no. Because you know now, it didn't really seem to say that. But the second striving, they were persuaded, but needed prayer to aid in this persuasion. They held proper conduct in high esteem. Wow. Okay, so the primary emphasis of prayer for leadership, and I've listed 11 things, and I'm closing the teaching, baby. We are getting ready to shut the door. Number one, acceptable service. This is what prayer is supposed to be all about when you pray for leadership. Number two, refreshing the saints. Well, that's definitely more than just praying for a leader, but it's a leader's visit that could do this. Number three, deliverance from unbelieving believers and just unbelievers. I don't know if there's a difference, really. I guess maybe there is. Maybe some of them are born again. I don't know. Number four, thanksgiving unto God by speaking in tongues. The primary emphasis of prayer for leadership. Number five, putting the logos in the mouth of leaders. In the mouths, that's plural, of leadership. Number six, making known the mystery of the glad tidings. Man, we need that today. Just talk about it, baby. Talk about it. Talk about it. Number seven, speaking in tongues contributes to wholeness. I love it. I love it. Speaking in tongues. I don't speak in tongues enough. I fought myself on that. I was taking a shower yesterday and I was going, man, you ought to be speaking in tongues. So I did. The supply of Christ in you contributes to wholeness. That's all under number 7. Number 7 again, speaking in tongues contributes to wholeness. The supply, and that indicates that there's a refreshing, a replenishing of sorts of Christ in you, and that contributes to this wholeness. Whole. Well, like if you want to be whole, don't you want to feel whole? Maybe there's some feeling involved in that. Not sure, but feeling. But wholeness. You know, it's one thing to think that you're whole. It's another thing to experience it. Everything's good. You're not missing an arm or a leg, maybe, spiritually. You got it all. You're whole. You're fully equipped. You're ready to go. Run that race. Run with the word. See if you can catch up to it. Wait for the glory. Number 8. Open the doors of the Logos in order to speak the mystery of the Christ. It's one thing to talk about Christ, but it's another thing to talk about the Christ. Yeah, well, that matters. There's a lot of people that think they're Jesus Christ too. You don't want to be talking about them. Number 9, that leadership can be granted or given unto you. Pray for it, baby. Just because you hear it doesn't mean it's going to happen. Pray for it. Pray that it happens. Pray it right through. They used to have an old expression. John and Joanne, you're probably familiar with this. Will you pray through? Remember that from years and years ago? You pray through? You pray until it happens. That's called praying through. You pray it through. Number 10, that the word of the Lord may run and be glorified. Run. That the word, that the Logos of the Lord can grow legs and feet and run. Have big old lungs, plenty of energy, and then be glorified. And it won't be a sweaty mess at the end. It's going to be beautiful. Number 11, persuasion of having a good conscience in the matter of well conduct. These are the things that Paul, on his behalf, for his behalf, requested prayer. This is God's word, folks. I didn't make any of this up. God wants us to incorporate these requests into our prayer life. Boy, if this doesn't put some meat on the bone. Acceptable service, refreshing the saints, deliverance from unbelievers and unbelieving believers, giving of thanks well, Logos in our mouths, speaking the glad tidings, mystery, speaking in tongues for wholeness, increasing the supply of the gift of Holy Spirit, open Logos doors to speak the mystery of Christ, leadership being granted or given unto you, glory runs of the Logos, and persuasion of a good conscience for well conduct. That is what being a prayer warrior is all about. Thank you.